Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You?
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
Whilst the TV show deals with the big news items, we'll be taking you through the smaller and sillier stories in the news this week. Think of it like this. If the main show is Alan Carr's five-star turn on The Traitors, then wear Kim Kardashian's zero-star performance in All's Fair.
Slam.
I haven't watched All's Fair, but it's the Kim Kardashian show, isn't it? Where it's like an all-female law firm.
Yes.
The Guardian gave it zero stars. They've only ever given 15 zero stars, apparently.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it. And I would say...
Have you?
The costumes are great. And that's pretty much all I can say about it.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Something. The costumes are good. That's, I feel like that's like if someone said, say something good about the Nazis. They dressed well.
Speaking of The Traitors, we need to issue an apology. Producer Diggory, can you just play back exactly what we said?
That was said in the exact tone of someone who's been told to say a line. That is clearly Producer Diggory forcing Emerald to say
Why
a line.
Why is Producer Diggory holding a gun to your head? Why has he got a picture of your pet rabbit and he's standing next to you menacingly?
Oh, sound effects.
So if this is Celebrity Traitors, we've had two episodes so far. Alan Carr is a traitor. I just think everyone's like, oh, he's amazing, isn't he? Yeah, he's getting away. No one suspects him. Like, I think he is going to, like, crack under pressure so quickly. If he gets any pressure whatsoever saying, are you a traitor, Alan? He'll just go, well, maybe.
I think he's doing a good job.
Whoa. Who the hell is this?
Jack, that is our producer, Diggory. You ignore him every week. Ignore him every week.
What an excellent fade out. I'm not accepting that as an apology because I'm sorry, he was crap, but it turns out all the faithful were even worse. Mm. And he did exactly what I said, which is like when someone said, prove you're faithful, and he started laughing when he had to say he was a faithful.
Yeah.
Mike definitely hasn't watched it, and it's just like, I have no interest in any of this chat whatsoever.
You just didn't like the fart.
I didn't like the fart. I didn't like the reaction to the fart. Just, we laugh, we move on. That's how you treat a fart. If my dad taught me one thing. No, I think I would say in a week where the BBC's under a lot of pressure and under fire, I think it's nice to have something where you've got 12 million people around the country watching it and a timely reminder of the BBC at its best. Yeah. So I'm not going to be too down on the Traitors, but no, I haven't watched it. But I like the costumes.
Yeah.
Shall we get into round two, where we've each brought a story from the news this week, which we think would be perfect for round two of the TV show? Jack, what story have you got for us this week?
There's a story that popped up that kind of felt like it was very in keeping with the themes of stuff that I've banged on about many a time.
Wait, can we guess?
Oh yeah,
great.
Hummus?
Oh, yeah.
I did talk about hummus.
Cheap deodorant.
I would say my long-running themes that I talk about.
Is it another story about a zoo feeding animals to its animals?
I wish, Mike.
Is it a dubious science story? I feel like you like those.
You guys are really seeing me, and I feel very seen, which I appreciate. So we're covering both teachers, which that's an actual genuine one, and America. So it's a study that have found that children are increasingly using Americanisms and speaking with American accents.
I can already see steam coming out of Mike's ears.
Yeah. So essentially the Times surveyed 10,000 teachers and they thought, okay, we're going to survey 10,000 teachers. Mm-hmm. What should we ask them? And they asked them, do your pupils say American things? You think, all right, okay. So this is like initially my thing with the story is I read it and it was on the front page of the Times as well. So I was like, oh, I wonder what that survey's about. There must be other questions they ask them. No. Literally, that is the only thing they seem to ask all these teachers.
What?
And it seems to be the biggest issue the Times wants to know about in terms of education.
No.
But what they found about, all the important research they found out, was that younger pupils are more likely to bring out kind of Americanisms. So 50% of primary school teachers said they had heard pupils use the word trash or garbage, right? And that was just their reaction to Labour's new schools curriculum, which, to be fair, quite advanced for the under-11s to be
impressive.
Talking about the nuances of...
I think it's about their level, isn't it?
It is, yeah. More on science, probably. That's what we're looking for, which I loved as a gag in the show this week. That was excellent.
It was a really fun show this week, Mike. Mm. Catherine Ryan was great.
Oh, she was fantastic. Also, nowhere like... First time I've ever done a script meeting in the day with a 2.5-week-old baby in the room. So
throw a couple of gags in.
Yeah, she did. She did. The only time she cried was when we played in a Donald Trump VT. We played in a clip to show Catherine and she got a bit disturbed. So.
Understandably.
Oh. Oh. I've got a delivery, but they'll just leave out the front. It's fine.
I thought it was another one of Diggory's effects.
Yeah, Diggory's.
He's telling us to move on.
That's his version of the Oscar speech music.
Oh, yeah.
Just brutal.
The walk-off music.
Other Americanisms that have slowly seeped in include apartment instead of flat, movie theatre instead of cinema, and president instead of unhinged millionaire.
Oh, come on.
Another word for sweets. What do you think they're using in terms of the word sweets?
Oh, candy.
Candy. Disgusting.
Oh, that's
65%
really
of primary school teachers said they'd heard it. And then 26% of secondary. But it was funny because some American outlets picked up this story. And the way that CBS News covered it, they kind of covered the story, but they also then pointed out that it goes in the other direction as well. Because in 2019, they reported that American children were speaking in British accents after watching Peppa Pig. And there's some great videos of like these young American kids going, look at that car, isn't it weird? And like really odd. And saying they're going to go on holiday rather than vacation and all this kind of stuff.
I love that.
Peppa Pig is such a, like, it's an awful thing, isn't it? Have you ever watched it?
I've never watched it, actually. Is it awful?
She's such a brat.
She's pretty harmless to me.
No,
really?
It's like a next level of entitlement. I'd be worried if I was the Americans.
Well, they described it as Peppa Pig syndrome. Peppa Pig syndrome, which is what I actually thought Peppa Pig's Peppa. Oh my fucking God. I've got Peppa Pig syndrome. That's it. I can't say it.
You've got Pingu syndrome, it sounds more like.
Now that I'll get on board with. Kids were talking more in Pingu.
Oh yeah. No, but Peppa Pig, pal, fucking hell. I've got it. I've got the syndrome.
This is great. This is probably like at the end of the show when the host is doing pickups and they just lose it.
Yeah, I also feel like I'm in a class where like everyone's being naughty and the teacher's basically having a breakdown.
Yes, you saw me in my car sleeping, but it's not where I live. I keep on trying to come out with it, right, to make a joke. Peppa Pig syndrome, that's not what happened to Boris Johnson when he did that speech to the CBI, which is, yeah, there we go. Worth it. Well worth it.
Wait, what?
Fucking hell.
Wait, what?
I feel like this is burnt into my brain when Boris Johnson went and spoke to the CBI, all these business leaders, and kept on talking about Peppa Pig World. And it was the one where he was going, forgive me, forgive me, when he was like forgetting where he was in the speech.
Yeah.
And it was 3 years ago, and it made me laugh because I Googled it when I was doing research for this story, and a genuine line in The Guardian, it said he gave a speech that saw him extensively praise Peppa Pig World, compare himself to Moses, and imitate the noise of an accelerating car. And I thought,
oh, God,
for those times again, what I'd give. What I'd give. Simpler times.
That does sound like an episode of Pingu.
Right.
He actually he did another interview where someone asked him about... They mentioned something about, oh, you're always talking about Peppa Pig. And he just looked off into the distance. You can look this up. He just looks off into the distance. He goes, ah, Peppa.
Wow.
What, like, it's like one of his,
yeah, one of his old flames, one the one that got away.
What is it with Eton students and pigs?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very true.
There's an odd one out for you.
What, David Cameron, Boris Johnson, Peppa Pig and...
Emerald, I'll leave it to you to research the fourth one.
We need another, yeah.
But on this, I actually messaged my American colleagues that I work with to ask them what words I used that they thought were weird.
Oh, brilliant.
So, like, kind of Britishisms, which they haven't taken any of them on, but I did enjoy asking. They said, jumper. I'd often say, I like your jumper. And they'd say... Do you mean a pullover? Having a mare was something they said they didn't understand what I was talking about, but I'd say it a lot. Taking the piss.
That would be confusing.
Yeah.
You're basically a catheter.
And I don't really remember this, but I was assured by my colleague Kerry that I was always saying the phrase, me belly's right cracking for a jacket potato.
Is that what one of them said?
That's what she said. I said it all the time. She was saying I'd always be saying.
That's how you sound to them.
Yeah, basically.
Have you seen the interview where Kim Kardashian is asked by an elderly lady about jacket potatoes?
Yes.
No.
She says, who?
Yes. Oh, so jacket good. Potatoes is such a good name.
I've watched this so many times, that clip, way too many times than I should have. And I think she thought it was someone called Jackie Potatoes.
I think you're right, yeah.
But I would say this round two story is pretty rad.
That's just ruined it. Yeah. Diggory, what's the opposite of a twinkle? What have you got that you can play in?
Trombone noise or something.
Celia's fart.
Thank you for that, Jack.
The most forced thank you.
That was such a slam.
Mike, what is your round two story for this week?
Not as good as Jack's, but I've got a question for you guys.
Okay.
Who would you say is the biggest film star in the world? Right now,
Timothy Chalamet.
Wrong.
Okay.
I was going to guess Tom Cruise.
Wrong.
Is it me?
Like in Strictly, no. It could be you. No, I'm sorry, Emerald. It's not you.
Damn.
Sydney Sweeney.
It's not even Sydney Sweeney. She's been outdone. There's a new kid on the block.
Wow.
So this is the news that a new film star has been born in Italy. Giuseppe Ignazio Loi has been wowing filmgoers in Italy. I mean, I'm sure you already knew his name. He is an 84-year-old shepherd.
Okay.
Who's become the star, the breakaway star of a huge film in Italy. Stop, like, honestly, stop me when you know and you can carry on.
Is it Shaun the Sheep? Is it Italian Shaun the Sheep?
Italian Shaun the Sheep. It's La Vita Vi Così, which translates as Life Goes That Way. Any ideas what it's about?
Is it softcore porn?
What?
The classic. Yeah, if you want to pass this field, you're going to have to pay for something. Oh, you've got no sheep. Do shepherds pay each other in sheep?
Shepherds can't make porn because all their films are you.
That was so good.
Sorry.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah.
I thought you were leaving a gap for Diggory to put in the sound of tumbleweed.
No, that's good.
Which is
that's
what
good.
It deserved. No, so he is a genuine 84-year-old sheep herder, Giuseppe, and he's been cast in this film, which is about a Sardinian cow farmer.
Oh, he can play against type.
Yeah, and it's gone to the top of the film charts in Italy. And he's become the star of it. And he's never been on TV before, never done any acting. They just plucked him after 4 months of research. Do you know why they picked him?
He knows his way around a cow. Like in a completely innocent way. That's not a mucky answer.
It sounds a little bit mucky. The director said that Giuseppe had the purity of a child combined with the moral code of a Sardinian shepherd.
Wow. Ooh, wow. I'd love to know what is the moral code of a Sardinian shepherd.
Rule one of Sardinian shepherd farming. You don't talk about Sardinian shepherd farming.
Yeah. Does it say more about the Italian film industry that it's gone to the top of the charts? Or... That's a genuine question.
Everyone in the UK is watching Peppa Pig and you're criticising this. It's probably very artistic Italian film.
Yeah, Giuseppe is a legend and it hasn't gone to his head.
Oh.
He got interviewed by the Times last week and they were asking him about it. And I think it was a tough interview because they asked him about it and he said, it wasn't too hard on set. They gave me a script and I read it.
Wow.
He's not replacing Daniel Day-Lewis anyway.
He's like the anti-Lewis, the anti-Day-Lewis.
I think the stars of All's Fair could learn something from him, in my opinion.
How did he respond to being compared to Robert De Niro in his acting style? One of his co-stars compared him to Robert De Niro.
Just a little shrug.
Did he say, Jackie Potato? Never.
Who's Jackie Potato? You're really close, Emerald. He genuinely replied, who?
Oh, yes.
Do you know, just hope he's done with his money. So he's got his big film payout.
bought more sheep?
Opposite.
The opposite of buying sheep.
He slaughtered his sheep in the most elaborate way possible. He's taken them on this really expensive all-inclusive holiday, knowing at the end that they're going to meet their demise.
I think possibly you're not too far off, because he did.
Wow,
what?
He sold his 60 sheep so he could take the time off to do the role. But with the money, he's going to buy an indoor toilet. He hasn't got an indoor toilet.
Wow.
So he said, I'm having one installed and I'm planning to get electricity next.
Nice.
And then asked if he'd get a TV when his electricity arrived. He said, no, I have no interest in that.
Wow.
He could meet Kim Kardashian and Jackie Potatoes and he wouldn't know which is which. Hey, what a perfect world to live in. Yeah. If only, if only.
Yeah. When asked if he knew Jackie Potatoes, he said, who? Che cosa? That's my incredibly exciting news this week. So I think we should all go away and watch Giuseppe's film and we can review it next week.
You've really piqued my interest, Mike. I do want to see it. I watched a 2 hours, 45 minute Iranian film on the plane over to the US.
Mm.
And it had no Italian shepherds in it.
Oh, no.
For God's sake. That's all I want to see.
That's the way forward.
Thank you for that story, Mike. It was a little bit woolly.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Please.
There we go.
I'm sure Diggory can shear off a bit in the edit.
Jack?
No, Jack's got standards.
So I have a round two story for us this week, which
Excellent.
Is all about a grumpy guide at a museum in Germany who has become a surprise hit.
Oh.
But can I preface this story by saying I'm going to be saying a lot of German words, and I have a feeling you're going to make fun of my probably very accurate pronunciation of them, Mike. So
I'm excited.
I'm ready for it.
With my GCSE German.
Yeah. No, there was a word I said before and you made fun of me for it. I can't remember what it was.
Only one.
Oh, it was Chile. I said Chile.
Oh, Chile.
It is Chile.
Chile.
You make fun of me.
Oh, I forgot. I'm so glad you reminded me about that.
There's a tour guide at Dusseldorf's Kunstpalace Museum.
Is what, sorry?
Isn't that a strip club in Romford?
Sorry, wait.
I know, we've already got in trouble for this. It's Kunstpalace.
I thought the Kunstpalace was where Andrew lived.
Anyway, so at this Kunstpalace Museum, there's a guide called Josef Langerlink. And he is apparently highly unpleasant. He stomps around the museum at breakneck speed and he insults guests for their lack of knowledge or if they look at their phone. So, Mike, I feel like it sounds similar to your management style. Is that right?
Oh, wow.
Honestly, watch Mike stomp through the Hattrick offices. It's like seeing Usain Bolt in his prime.
He sounds great.
The speed at which he stomps.
Wow.
Stomping at breakneck speed. I have issue with that as a phrase.
Well, the news story is that his tours are all sold out, but the slight twist is that he is a performance artist and he's putting this on for the museum.
Mm.
But he says that people enjoy the emotional ride that he's providing them. But I do feel like he is just a grumpy man and he got caught being rude and he said it was performance art.
Yeah. That's a great out, isn't it?
Oh, that's really clever. Yeah, he just genuinely was grumpy.
You have a lot in common, Mike.
Yeah.
His real name is Carl Brandy, and he's made up this character.
And some great names today.
Carl Brandy.
Jackie Potatoes, Carl Brandy.
Yeah. He criticises the way the museum has been curated. The article I read says that the thought of art as entertainment is one of the many things that disgust him. Which sounds like what stand-ups say when they've had a bad gig. He insults people. He tells people off if they answer a question too quietly.
Mm.
I would just love to see him try his shtick with Queenie in the tour group because I think he would be crying by the end of it. I don't think it would work on Queenie.
I think it'd be a good career choice for Queenie. She'd be excellent at that.
In the Guardian article that I read, he tells off a woman because she answers his question, but she does it too quietly. And he says, if you know the answer, why can't you tell us in a way that those at the back can hear too?
Slam.
Which I also feel like, Jack, you've probably said it in your school teacher days, something like this.
What? Say it loudly.
Or you know when they're like, oh, were you saying something interesting? Why don't you tell it to the whole class? It has
that
sort of...
classic, yeah. We've got something to tell the whole class, have we?
Yeah.
If it's that interesting. Oh, yeah, it's about me sleeping in the car. I'm not sleeping in my car. I don't live there.
Oh, no, we're back to this.
It's fine. Jack's cool. Jack's totally cool.
It's cool. And listen, there's loads of overnight car parks around my area that are happy for me to stay there and park. So no issues.
Jack, you're making us too sad. You have to stop. This is your kind of performance art.
Yeah.
It's not nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's performance art.
But do you want to hear what people in his group said about his tour?
Yeah,
definitely, yeah.
One woman said, I thought it was very funny and clever. And I mean, that's exactly what I say when I've been to a play and I haven't understood a single word.
That's very... Are these translations from German? Yeah. All the quotes feel very to the point. There's no fat on those quotes.
Why do you think people are flocking to museums to be sort of told off? Mm. Do you know what I mean? That feels very German.
Well, actually, sorry. Mm. We have a German friend staying with us right now. So this isn't me saying anything about German people, but I asked him, are tour guides normally nice or nasty in Germany? And he said, they're German, so I don't know how to answer that question. So that's from a German himself. So.
That's fantastic.
Because they're under a lot of funding pressure, museums across Europe are trying out all these different like fun ways of attracting people in. So there's a place in Stuttgart, a museum that hosts nudist evenings in which people can stroll naked among the exhibits. No. What kind of specialised tour would you guys want in a museum?
I want a specialised one where it's just me.
Okay.
And I can just walk around and look at stuff by myself. That's quite miserable, isn't it?
No, you just need a cherry picker and some high vis. Sorted.
I got called out for reading too much of the stuff in the museum.
What?
I quite like reading everything.
Were you reading it out loud?
No. My friend that I was with, she's like, you're just taking too long. She basically just left the museum.
I'm with her, to be honest. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I carried on reading and then, yeah.
That sounds like fun, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just me. It was like a group of friends. But she really zeroed in on me reading too much. Oh, no.
You need like an angry German following you around going, schnell, schnell.
Yes.
And what would you have, Emerald?
I would like a tour where there's two tour guides and one of them only tells the truth and one of them only tells a lie. And you have to vote for which one's the right one.
That's the most Emerald answer ever.
I basically want a TV format for a tour
guide.
Yeah.
Also, just want to say, I realised my one was like a... Yeah, our guys actually read too much of the exhibition, which is not what I was trying to do. But
Jack, as Emerald said when she dropped her, I've got an AS in maths a couple of weeks ago. We get it, mate. You're really clever. You watch Iranian films on planes.
I actually, do you know what? When I listened back to the episode, I was going to text and I was going to say in the message to say I really like listening to the episode. I was going to be like, Emerald, can we trade what marks we got on our A-level maths?
Can I just say, though, I did an AS level in maths and also an AS level in further maths. Get it right, Mike.
I can't handle it right now.
Did you do C1 to C4, Emerald?
Oh, you know, I was talking about the Sudoku in my maths paper. That was D1. I liked the C's best.
Hated S1.
Oh my God, yeah.
M1, loved M1.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Give me mechanics.
Yeah, not the S's. Day.
Join us here for next week. Emerald,
at Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for the missing words round now, where I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week and you just need to fill in the missing words. So first up, we have Japanese ambassador to the UK says what is the hardest thing he's done?
Is it pretending that Celia Imrie's fart is an important cultural event? It's the hardest thing he's done.
Is a Japanese ambassador to the UK says, resisting the urge to mock the British accent is the hardest thing he's done.
You're actually not far off, Jack. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Japanese ambassador to the UK says, saying Peppa Pig is the hardest thing he's ever done?
No, it says Peppa Pig sense it.
Oh, oh my God.
Peppa Pig syndrome. It's the hardest thing he's done. It's a Japanese ambassador to the UK says, accepting that supermarkets offer sushi in their meal deal is the hardest thing he's done.
Yeah.
Not cool.
No, the answer is, Japanese ambassador to the UK says learning Welsh is the hardest thing he's done.
Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough.
Yeah. He taught himself Welsh for the national anthem of Wales, and he did it through YouTube tutorials. But he's quoted in the Times as saying, oh, it was very tough, very tough. I had to practice many, many times, many times.
Oh, fair enough.
Sounds quite traumatised by it.
John Redwood, take note.
I was going to say, what a clip.
Wait, what's the clip?
It's one of the most excruciating clips you could ever watch, which is John Redwood. And he was minister for Wales, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was under Thatcher. Oh.
And kind of everyone stands up at the start of this meeting and they all start singing the Welsh National Anthem, and he sort of half tries to kind of join
in. Not even half.
But he's like, he should just keep his mouth shut, it's fine. But he looks so sad, it's unbelievable.
Oh, no.
It's very painful to watch.
Well, the Japanese ambassador was actually really tuneful. I was surprised. He was like properly in tune and everything.
He's incredible. I absolutely like his antics.
You featured him eating a scouse stew.
Yeah. Saying, that's Boss Scran.
Boss Scran, so good.
Yeah, he absolutely nailed it.
But which TV personality has he annoyed?
Is it a Jackie Potatoes?
She's annoyed at everyone, isn't she? Jackie Potatoes.
How could he annoy anyone?
He is a big Top Gear fan, and he said that last time he was in the UK, the car navigation voice for his car was Jeremy Clarkson. And he found it very funny. But when he ignored instructions from this Jeremy Clarkson voice, then the voice navigation went dead for 5 minutes because Jeremy was so cross.
Oh, what? Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I feel like there's some sort of security issue there or something. Yeah. I don't think you should be driving that car.
Does Jeremy the sat-nav get really cross if you go past services when he's hungry and you don't stop for a steak sandwich?
Probably, yes.
And his hand comes out and punches you. Yeah.
Next. Oh my gosh.
She's got Peppa Pig syndrome.
Peppa Pig.
Scientists discover that what is much older than previously thought.
Is it scientists discover that Jackie Potatoes is much older than previously thought?
She's got a stage age, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's constantly cast as the younger daughter. Actually, she's 73.
It's so stupid, but it's so good.
Scientists discover that man on dating app is much older than previously thought.
It's too true.
Is it scientists discover that David Attenborough is much older than previously thought?
Wow.
Ooh, this is a great conversation.
That would be impressive.
Who's the oldest celebrity? He's technically the oldest celebrity.
They counted his rings.
Well, no, actually, he's not. Dick Van Dyke.
Wow.
His oldest celebrity.
Dick Van Dyke's going to be 100 in December.
What?
Yeah. We were debating whether to talk about him on the show, about the fact he's going to be 100, and we thought nothing is ever guaranteed to kill him off so surely than saying we're going to talk about him on the show.
It's bad they make him still go up to clean those chimneys, isn't it? You'd think he'd go out of it, but still. You've got your own to keep somehow, haven't you?
So, so true.
Yeah.
Is it scientists discover that urge to push over slow walkers is much older than previously thought?
Any more guesses?
We'll never top Jackie Potatoes. I mean, the whole show is just... it's just Jackie Potatoes and out.
This is her show. The answer is scientists discover that a mosquito that lives on the tube is much older than previously thought.
Oh.
It lives on the tube?
Jack in his car's jealous.
I was going to say, you can live on the tube.
So oh much my more God. Space.
I've got to change. I've got to totally alter my whole way of living.
There's been a bit of buzz about this story.
Nice.
Nice.
There's a type of mosquito that was believed to have evolved on the London Underground, but scientists have conducted a genetic study and they've discovered it has a much older origin in the Mediterranean.
Oh my God.
People during the war who were sheltering in the underground, they complained about getting bitten by mosquitoes, and they seemed so well adapted specifically for the tube that scientists thought that they'd evolved there. But they're actually from irrigation channels and granaries in ancient Egypt and the Mediterranean.
To be fair, on the central line in summer, it is essentially Mediterranean. Yep. It's absolutely baking.
It's tropical these days.
Are you saying the same people who built the pyramids built the Northern Line?
Yeah. The eighth wonder of the world. From Morden to Edgware.
Ancient, annoying, and sucking the life out of people, the London Underground first opened in 1863. There we
yes.
go.
Yes.
And finally, a true gentleman doesn't bang on about what?
Having an AS in maths.
Wow.
Sleeping in their car.
Exactly, Mike. Thank you. Finally.
Watching Iranian movies on a flight.
Is it how many hot babes he's definitely kissed and not been rejected by?
Yeah, is it? Yeah, a true gentleman doesn't bang on about banging.
There you go. Yeah. A true gentleman doesn't bang on about how many WKD blues he's imbibed over the weekend.
It's the use of the word imbibed there that really makes it.
The answer is a true gentleman doesn't bang on about sport.
Oh.
So, egg on your face, you guys.
Here we go. Emerald found this headline and was like, finally a way I can.
Emerald found it when her hands went to the keyboard and typed it out herself from nothing.
Emerald's going to get a little sign. Which it says true gentleman sign. And whenever we start talking about sports, she's just going to tap it.
I'm going to draw a line through it whenever you start. No, this is number 4 in the list of how to be a gentleman in 39 steps, which was featured in Country Life this week, and it's a list that's edited by etiquette expert William Hansen. So there's 39 things on this list that you need to be a true gentleman. So other things that he says about a true gentleman are that he's good at kissing, he believes Roger Moore was the best 007, and he only stops at motorway service stations to use the loo, which I think reads like Alan Partridge's dating bio.
Jeremy Clarkson sat nav wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah. Also, what do they not want you to do at service stations then? Eat.
I know. Why is using the loo the gentlemanly thing to do at a service station?
Who doesn't bathe at a service station?
God, okay. Yeah. You lost me there, Jack.
Yeah, no, I was just giving an example.
Yeah.
Again, the great overnight car parks for no reason other than just to mention that, you know?
Oh, God. We posted this missing word round to our social media channels, and congratulations to KevinT42 and Stuart Bywater, who made us laugh with their response when they said, a true gentleman doesn't bang on about Warhammer.
Oh, Mike. Oh,
sorry, I thought you said they made us laugh.
Wow.
Also, oh, I'm sorry, but KevinT has said Warhammer 40,000 and Stuart Bywater said Warhammer. So pick a lane.
Same thing. So yeah,
no, cool. Not the same thing. Not the same thing.
What's the difference?
Well, Warhammer 40,000 is set in the 41st millennium.
Why did he do it?
Why have we set him off?
The grimdark future of the far future.
Follow
where
Have
War.
I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing word round when we post another one next Monday.
Only way to stop him.
Wait, you're serious? We're actually doing it that? You actually are giving them the... This is unbelievable.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's hattrick with 2 T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. And we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Bye.
Bye.
We need to wrap up the pod. Jack's parking's up.
I need to get a new ticket. Shit.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
You did promise me you'd come back from the Antarctic tall and blonde.
And skinny.
The Coldest Shift, an Antarctic adventure presented by Dr. Rachel Varnum.
We need to be the forerunners in making sure that we keep the Antarctic the only continent without COVID.
We can perform small operations here.
How many nurses are going with you? None. Are you taking a dentist? No, that's me as well. Are you taking a physio? No, that's me. So all of the things that you have in a hospital, we've had training on, essentially.
Oh, Rachel, why would you do that as a medic? That's ridiculous.
So here's a little story about the journey on the James Clark Ross.
Releasing the 5th of November on all podcast platforms.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.